Mindy.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi. Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Awesome. How's it going?
It's going.
I'm good. All righty. Well, we'll go ahead and get started then. So welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on. How about you just go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody, who you are, all that kind of stuff.
Oh gosh, I don't even know where to begin. I'm Lindy. I came to New York for theater, did not end up doing theater like so many.
Relatable.
So relatable. And found my way to fitness from like, I don't know. I just kind of fell into it, honestly. We can talk about that a little bit more, but it was something that I liked doing. And then when I was very on the outs with theater, I was like, why don't I just try this for a little while, see what happens? And here we are.
And here we are in 2020. What a year.
What a great year.
I know, right? It's quite a ride.
It's been a ride, but I do think that it's like a very needed refresh for so many
Yes. Oh my God,
people.
yes.
So many industries. I talk about this so frequently of how New York is just built on this like hustle culture that I think a lot of millennials and like young professionals have. But something about the New York state of mind, I want to say, is that you have to be going and doing all the time. And I think being forced to not go and not do for 6 months has made such a change in like our industry, but also finance and marketing and tech. And everybody is just taking a step back and able to like reflect on what's important in their lives.
I agree. New York feels so much more relaxed now. I actually, when I first went back to work, I haven't seen anyone in so long. So, of course, we all do the like, hey, what have you been doing for the past 6 months? And that's like what everyone said. And everyone's like, I just realized that I wasn't living my life in New York City. Like, we live in such a cool place, but sometimes you get so caught up in work that you don't actually do any of the cool stuff here. So yeah, I think you're right on track there. I think 2020 is like such an important year for so many people.
Yeah, I've loved it, honestly. I hated
Me
it at first.
too. Me
But
too.
after like June, let's see, March, April, those were rough months. Like after mid-June, I was very in my element.
Me too. I like realized I really love working from home. And like virtual personal training, I really like
Do
it.
you? Okay, I haven't actually done a ton of that. So what's it like?
It's really hard at first, I'm not gonna lie. Well, I lucked out because the girl that I train, we've been training for like a long time. So that was nice because I know her body. I know the way that she moves, so I know how to communicate with her. I did a couple of like complimentary sessions with some people, and those are a little bit harder if you don't know them already, because it's just like I can't see you. I don't know how to communicate with you. So like the people I've already had, they're a lot easier. So yeah, starting over fresh is difficult, but now I'm like in the flow with it, so I like it more.
That's great. Yeah. I did like one and it I did a few and it just felt disconnected. Granted, this was at the beginning when everything
When
was
everything
just
felt
turning, when
disconnected.
everything was disconnected. So everything was just like changing. And I don't deal with change well. It's not my thing.
I know you and I are both like such routine people.
Yeah, I don't love when things change or when I get knocked off of what's happening. I like to be able to plan and like pre-plan and just work out every possible outcome that could possibly happen. So when the gym shut down in March, I was like, oh God, what do I do?
Right.
What happens now?
I was like, we're really off track. I'm going to bring it back.
Bring it back.
To you. So I want to jump back to like the beginning of your fitness journey. And like, what was your first like introduction to fitness?
I did every sport growing up. So I did like, I was a dancer for a hot second. I did gymnastics. I horseback rode. I played basket. I did like everything. Not well. I should be very clear about that. But like, I was a very active child. And then I was in third grade. I was like 8. And I started playing soccer and just fell head over heels for this sport. And I played from the time I was 8, pretty much competitively, through 18 when I went to college and dropped off any form of physical activity that I'd ever, like, I just stopped, as I think a lot happens in college, because one, I was in theater school and we rolled around on the floor a lot. And I was like, this is activity. And then slowly but surely, I kept coming home and my parents kept being like, you look a little different, and not in a good way. So one obviously like affected my mental state of what was happening to me. And then went back for my senior year, I guess,
And in high school really, still or in college?
In college.
Okay.
I got really into yoga. And I would go 4 or 5 days a week because there was a core power yoga that had just opened up in Boston and they had a student discount. And I might be making this up, but I really think it was like $60 a month.
Oh, wow.
For unlimited yoga. Like, it was so cheap. I was like, if I do 3 classes, I paid for it.
Sorry, it cut out for a second there because someone called me. I'm going to put my phone on Do Not Disturb. Sorry. So you said that it was like $60 a month for unlimited yoga. That was
Yeah, it was so cheap. It was so cheap. So if I went to 2 classes or 3 classes a month, I paid for it.
Right.
Essentially. And I went 4 or 5 days a week and just started feeling, this sounds really like, I don't know, kind of airy, but I felt more in my body.
Yeah, I like that.
Like I felt like I had more ownership over what my body was capable of and like was more aware of what was happening. I don't really even remember if I lost any weight or if I got stronger, but I just felt more connected and more grounded. And then I graduated, moved to New York, and all of that just went away so quickly, as happens when you move to a new city and are trying to like get a job and make friends. And
it's so much. And I, God, I could just like, I could talk about like theater school like all day because I just have so many like about it. Not everywhere, but that's a really big generalization. But I feel like a lot of people run into that same path where it's like, I feel like when you graduate, no matter like if you're like, because you were in stage management, no matter like what concentration you're in, I feel like it is so much pressure of like, you need to graduate and have a job as soon as you graduate and as soon as you can get to New York and like do all this stuff. Like, there's no slowing down there either.
No. And let me, I'll tell you a little secret. I had a job when I graduated. I joined the union when I graduated. Like, for all intents and purposes, I hate this, I was textbook more successful,
right? Like
than my classmates on paper.
Yeah. Like on the
I
right
had
track
a job lined up. I had like an in the union. I was set. But then it like I was working on an off Broadway contract. I was doing the checkbox things, and yet every 8 weeks or every 12 weeks, like clockwork, you have to find a new job. And that just emotionally exhausts you because you never know what's next. And as I said earlier, I do not do change well. So I don't know why I thought theater was going to be a really great life choice for me. But yeah, so I moved and all that fell off. And I actually started dating this guy who was an Equinox member. And he was like, why don't you just come into the gym with me? And I was like, absolutely not. No way, no way, no how. I haven't set my foot in a gym since pre-college. I think I might have gone to my school's gym maybe twice.
Yeah.
That wasn't for like a weird PE class that yeah. I was taking. And so he's like, no, just come. It'll be fine. I'll take you through some stuff. And I went and I was still really strong because mm-hmm. I've always been really strong. I was that kid in elementary school who was doing more push-ups than the boys. Like, I've been strong.
Yeah.
So I went and I remembered how to like do lunges and do the lat pull down and do all of these things. And I went every day for 5 days in a row, so Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up on Saturday and I could not move my body.
Oh my God.
I was wrecked. And I was also just very addicted from that moment. And that's kind of like the working out fitness journey.
Yeah. So at that point you were getting all of your like fitness information from your boyfriend?
Yeah, let's not call him a boyfriend.
from the boy.
from the person that I was dating, yes. Yeah, he was very into it, as like theater actors have to be, because you know you guys are judged on your bodies.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Sad as it is, but right. Actors are very much judged on their appearances. So he cared a lot about it, and we went, and then from there I just kind of did what I did when I was a soccer player. So in high school, we did 3 times a week weight training after school before practice with my school's athletic coach. So we did that, and I just kind of brought everything back, really started getting into the science behind it, and then Googled late at night a personal training like programs. Like, where can I learn this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
One, because I wanted something a little bit more steady if I couldn't find a job, so I could like still train people on the side and have money to pay my rent. And right. also like selfishly, I just wanted to know more about what was going on in my muscles and things. Yeah. So across Equinox, and I was like, oh, they have a personal training school type thing. They actually don't have it anymore. It's called Equinox Academy. But I paid like,
oh, okay. I thought you meant like after. Okay. Now I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. It was pre-employed.
By I've heard Equinox. Of it. Yeah. When did they get rid of it?
Like a year ago.
Okay. Yeah. I've heard of it before, but I didn't see it when I was like looking.
Basically, it was all of tier 2 and tier 3 combined into, I don't even remember how long the course was. It might have been like 4 months on weekends. So I would spend like 12 hours Saturday and Sunday in these classes and like learned all of the tier 2 and tier 3 curriculum very intensely. And it was still like all of the master instructors. So then when I actually became an Equinox trainer, I was like, hey, everybody, this is great. I'm back. Literally in the same room. I was at 43rd Street for the classes. And then I did my tier 2 and tier 3 curriculum at, like, I haven't left.
this is home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so then I just spilled water all over myself. Hold on.
Oh, no.
It's fine. I don't know how to drink water anymore. Okay.
Also why I like working from home, you know? Although I know you're back in the office, but still. Okay, cool. So you took that curriculum, and then did that, like, did you get a certification through that, or did you have to do that later on?
I still had to get my national certification. So it helped. That was the other reason that I did the in-person class, is so I didn't have to self-study through, I'm certified through NASM, so I didn't have to self-study the NASM textbook. I kind of got to like go along with the two. And yeah, so I got like an Equinox certification, which in the grand scheme of things really doesn't count for anything. So then I still had to get certified through NASM. And then I applied to Equinox as a trainer and became a trainer. And then went back through all of it.
So, like, at the beginning of your training career, we'll say, what do you feel like your style of training was? Because I know mine has changed so much, so I like hearing, like, what other people's style was, like, when they first started versus, like, now.
Oh, my God. Terrible. It was a lot of... I don't know how to explain it, because I still did a lot of full body. I don't want to put this. I did very by the book training. So it was not necessarily super tailored to people's goals, because I think a lot of personal training and a lot of like life things, you get through experience. So the knowledge of what things do is really great, but being able to work with a person and see similarities and patterns between a wide range of people helped educate me on if knees are turning in, how do I work with somebody to help get them more aligned, things like that. So I didn't really know anything. I just knew exercises and how to cue them, and knew that we should do all planes of movement and all pushes and pulls and the ratios from push to pull. So I knew those things, but when it came to applying it to the person in front of me, I think that's where I had a disconnect.
Yeah. And how do you feel like that? Oh, for sure. Okay. How do you feel like that changed over time? And how would you describe your style of training now?
My style of training now really depends on the person. That's, I think, what I've learned the most, is that if somebody comes and, for example, I'm doing only kettlebell work with somebody, and I love kettlebells, but a lot of people do not. So yeah. I tried to like...
They're scary. Like,
they are scary. I get it. I had no idea what a kettlebell was until I started as a trainer at Equinox. I had no idea.
Yeah.
But I love them now. Big fan. Huge. And so somebody who only wants to work with kettlebells, which is great, but I'm not going to use what I'm doing with client A with client B. Because maybe client B only wants to do like Viper work, and tailoring it more for what their goals are and what they want to do and what they need to do. Like, that's, if somebody doesn't ever want to use a barbell, I'm never going to be like, we need to use a barbell.
Yeah.
Versus 3 years ago, I've been like, but it's a barbell. Let's do heavy
so
squat.
Right.
I've gotten to the point where, I mean this in the best way, what you are using does not matter.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Because it really comes down to, like, if you don't like your workouts, they're ineffective.
Yeah, you're not going to do them. And I'd rather figure out a way to make people enjoy their workout and have them want to come back versus being like, but this is the progression that I set out and planned for us.
Yeah.
Because they don't care.
No.
90% of the time.
And I wouldn't
care.
Either.
I wouldn't either. If you were like, we're only going to use Vipers for the rest of my training, I'd be like, I'm done. I have no interest in coming back to you.
Yeah. And I need variety.
That's the personal training. Exactly. Shout out to Pat.
Right. Oh God, I love that man.
I love that man so much.
So you and I both went through like very similar transitions from like being in theater, and then I feel like both of us kind of suddenly just were like, well, now I'm on to fitness, and like just made that very cold turkey cut. So I want to talk about like what that transition was like for you.
Oh yeah, it was terrible. Mm-hmm. I started therapy because of it. I'm serious. It was not like a cold turkey switch at all for me. It was a slow and steady, I am miserable in this life and tried everything to get unmiserable. So that's partially where fitness came in, is because I, so pre-training, I did, at like 21 years old or 22, I developed adult acne, and I never understood how acne could affect like your mental state until at 22 years old, living in New York, I have cheeks of cystic acne and did not like looking in the mirror at myself. Like I never grasped it until it happened to me. So that was something that was going on. I was 30 pounds heavier than I am now and just like didn't feel content in my body, and like remembered going shopping and just not wanting to try on jeans or whatever the annoying piece of clothing that I didn't fit into properly. And going through this like big physical shift of going on Accutane and dealing with the side effects of Accutane, and then going to the gym and working on nutrition and losing like 15, 20 pounds over 6 months, and like looking in the mirror and be like, okay, wow, I like the way I look, and yet I am still miserable. And was just like, I need to get out of this rat race of theater, because it's not me that I'm unhappy with, it's my life. And started therapy, and for the first like 3 or 4 months of therapy, I would just go in and cry and be like, I went to school and have a Bachelor of Fine Arts that I spent $250,000 on, and I'm not using it, and feeling like a total failure. Because at 17, I decided that I wanted to be a stage manager. And for some reason, because I'm a planner and a very type A person and don't like change, because that was not, because my life plan shifted and my goals and my needs and my wants shifted, I decided that I had failed at planning and therefore I was a failure. And so that internalized, and then got to go to therapy for a while, which I highly recommend everyone do.
Yes. Absolutely.
Big fan of therapy. and then I was like, oh, so I can just not use the degree, like all those other people who don't use the degree that they got in college, and go and have a different career. Wild. Absolutely. Yeah, so that was my switch. It wasn't fun.
Yeah. It's so funny that, I don't know if it's like because like a creative field, like when you start college, there's a lot of people who are like, oh, what are you going to do with that? Like, you know, that's like the joke of going to school for an art. But there's so much pressure, like what you were saying, where like in other careers, people major in stuff and they don't use it and no one thinks twice about it. But for some reason, when you're in a creative field, it is like the biggest deal to switch careers.
Yeah, or at least like, what do philosophy majors really do? It's not a big deal at all, but like I never hear about a philosophy major being like, I'm not a philosopher. What? Yeah, you're not Aristotle. Go on with yourself. Like, you're fine.
What do philosophy majors, what do you do with that?
You either teach or you go into another career.
We love to see it.
John was he either majored in philosophy and minored in economics or the other way around. And like now he does sales.
Yeah,
he trained and now he does sales.
Not like a big deal for people.
No. He has a degree, and like I also think that's because he is a man. I think men have a better relationship with change overall than women do, or something about it. They just have like, yeah, I've completed that part of my life and now I'm going to continue on to this next aspect. I don't know. Yeah. I think that men just have a healthier ability to flow through stages of life.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas I know, like for me, I don't know how you feel about this, like, but I always feel like guilty that I'm like abandoning something.
Oh yeah. I felt like I was quitting or giving up on so many things. Like when I became a manager, I was like, am I doing this because I can't do more as a trainer? Like why did I have that existential crisis of my promotion is somehow a failure?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I did.
It's crazy. We feel so many things about things that just are really fine.
Yeah, I look back on so many things. Like when I was growing up, I had perfect attendance. And I want to know why I thought that perfect attendance mattered.
Because you got a little certificate at the end of the year.
Yeah.
A pat on the back.
I don't have those anymore. They don't matter. They did not matter then. Probably gave my teacher like an extra amount of work to cut out my square of construction paper and write my name on it and slap some stickers on it.
Almost perfect attendance. That should be a certificate.
Missed one day.
Right.
But it really comes down to like, even now when I'm not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now it's different because COVID, but
right.
9 months ago, if I wasn't feeling well, I'd be like, I'll get through it. I'll push my body through today so that I show up.
And do you feel, so are you saying like, because like right now, obviously if you're sick, stay home, people, COVID, or are you saying like, obviously that, but also like because of quarantine, because we were talking about how like that forced us all to slow down. Do you feel like you're more likely to give yourself a break now?
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think a lot of it is because COVID. And like, I don't want to, I'm more worried about spreading it than I am about taking care of myself.
Me too. I'm like, I'll do it. It'll be fine. I'll stay at home for a while and it'll be great. Like I cannot like carry that around. Like I would feel so horrible. Before I went home to North Carolina, I was like so stressed because I was like, if I come back from New York, this is when it was like a lot worse in New York, and I was like, if I come back from New York and like my parents get sick, I will not be okay.
Right. Yeah. So it's, I mean, I wish it was about me, and I wish I could like do things for myself even now, but I think when it comes to like me now feeling sick, I don't think I'm taking a day to like take care of myself. I think I'm taking a day to take care of the people I'm around. Yeah. Especially since I'm like in a gym.
Right.
And we're open. Yeah. And God forbid anything happens and like who knows what goes on. But
right.
Yeah, I think I'm still at the point where I'm more likely to take a break for other people than I'm able to take a break for myself.
Yeah, I feel that. So I wanted to ask you if you had any like resources for someone who is maybe starting.
Bye. What's up?
I wanted to see if you had any like resources for somebody who was like wanting to start a fitness journey, but maybe didn't know where to start. Where, like, if you had like an Instagram account or like a book or a podcast that you like to listen to, anything like that, that would just give someone a good place to start.
Yes, I do. Get off of Pinterest and don't go to the explore page of Instagram, because they're probably trash. I like all the trainers that I follow. So Lauren Kansky is great. She's also on the Women's Health Advisory Board, something like that. Obviously, Jane Simmons.
Hey guys, this is Editing Jane popping on here really quickly. I don't know what happened to the mic, but it just stopped working. We're talking about Lexa Henwood, who's one of my best friends. I freaking love her. So I don't know why it like cut out her name. I think maybe when we say Lexa in my house, our Alexa dot turns on, but we're talking about Lexa here.
Is fantastic. Any story she posts, she was doing these like get ups the other day.
Yeah.
Oh, like lateral lunge get ups.
Yes.
And I stared at them and I was on the floor of my office like a crazy person trying to figure it out.
How do I do this?
How do I do this? If you like swimming, Dan Daly. Trying these like fitness only Instagrams. That's a hard one.
Right, yeah. And I'll tag these
in my podcast
Instagram story if you guys want to follow them.
Podcast Instagram. I'm trying to think. Let me scroll through my Instagram. Let's see.
I know you're a big Squat University fan.
I am a huge Squat University fan. Onnit Academy. Big fan of Onnit. I think their Instagram is just Onnit now. They got rid of Onnit Academy.
How do you spell that? Like just
O-N-N-I-T.
I-T, two N's.
So there's an extra N.
Onnit.
And then there's a book. Shoot. Let me see if I can I will think of this book by the end of this podcast and then just randomly say it.
I love it.
But there is a really great like science-y book. It's sitting on my bookshelf at home, and it's a science book. Also, for nutrition, Precision Nutrition. Their Instagram is fabulous because they just do infographics.
Yeah, I like them a lot. They're very big on, like, keeping it real, too. Like, very normal, very balanced, nothing wacky.
Yeah, there's you don't get rid of anything. Like, I'm very skeptical of people who are like, you can't have X food.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing that we were saying about like working out. It's the same with your nutrition. If you don't like it, you're not going to do it.
Yeah. Like I had a muffin this morning. I had a muffin and a bagel. Fight me.
I love it. I had two pieces of toast with butter for breakfast. That was my breakfast today.
Delicious. Delicious.
Sourdough. I'm really.
Oh, and Move You. That's another one.
Is that an Instagram account?
It is.
You as in like you or like Y-O-U?
As in the letter.
Got it.
All right. I think it's Move University. I think is what it's short for. But
everyone's university is nowadays. Or academies.
Yeah. There are a lot of universities and academies. You don't actually get anything from them. It's just just what they're calling themselves,
right?
Yeah,
perfect. If you think of that book, just text me and I'll put it on there. Cool. I have one more question for you. So what is some advice that you would give somebody who wanted to start a career in fitness?
Like they want to be paid for their fitnessy things.
Yeah, like let's keep it in our niche, and we'll say like somebody who wants to become a personal trainer.
It's really hard, and I see it a lot of people come in at least in a gym setting. I can't speak to like outside of a gym setting. Mm-hmm. They expect to come in and just have 15, 20 clients in a matter of like 1 or 2 months. And it's not always a realistic goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then watching people get really discouraged. So if you're creating a business, that would be like my biggest piece of advice is have realistic expectations for what can happen. And also continue learning.
Yeah, I think that's a big one.
Yeah, it's, I've seen it at some gyms that have been open for a really long time, and they've had trainers that are there for very long times. And despite every national certification requiring certain amount of like continuing education credits, just not having their knowledge evolve, because what was popular or even true 10, 15 years ago is no longer true now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, think about all of the fads of like foods and exercises even like, that went in,
like,
and then we
right learned. Like super basic like fat loss. Like I feel like 5-10 years ago it was all like you have to do a bunch of cardio, and now it's like, well, actually you should strength train more.
Right. And yeah, it's everything changes. I'm reading a book right now called Burnout: The Secret to Unlocking the Stress Cycle. And it's so good.
I need a new book soon. I'm almost finished with Untamed.
Oh my God, it's so good too. Oh, but they have a little line in here about how the nature of science is that you're always proving things false. Like science is never proving things to be true.
Yeah.
They're just proving it to not be false. Does that make sense?
I love like that. Just yeah.
Because your science is never wrong. It's just constantly grown upon.
Yeah.
Oh, and so like what was right 15 years ago, science-wise, could be very disproven today just based off of so much more knowledge and studies that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So continue learning. Yeah, so I would say that those are the big two.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, that's all my questions I have for you. Thank you so much for coming on the show and taking time out of your work day. I appreciate that.
Of course. I hope it went well. I hope you liked this.
Oh, I loved it. This was awesome. I just feel like because we both came from that like theater background, you know, I love talking to you about this stuff.
Play on the background. That's what I will say. This
PFAs we don't use.
For your listeners, hello. I hired Jane.
I know. Wendy used to be my manager, and COVID ripped her away from me and sent her somewhere else.
There's something to two locations, but I hired Jane, and I will say this. When you said that you were a theater person, I was like, you will do well. Like, innately, I just, the skills are so transferable from, like, the worst hours
it
in
really
the world.
It is, yeah.
And, like, having to deal with so many different personalities. I was like, she's going to be great.
The constant hustle.
The constant, it's, yeah, there. You can't stop. You can't get complacent. So, like, when I said looking for a job every 8 to 12 weeks, that's essentially what you do as a personal trainer.
Yep. It really, really is. Like, you just get to stay at like one location, which is nice. That was like my thing. The theater was like after, oh my God, there's a loud siren. Yeah. Cause like after I graduated, I like moved to Florida, and then I was like, I don't want to live in Florida. Then you have to find somewhere else to move.
It's a great call. Don't live in Florida. Sorry, Florida.
The weather was nice.
It's nice for a little bit.
Very true. All
right, I'm from the South. I'm allowed to say it.
What was that?
I said I'm from the South. I'm allowed to say it.
Yes. Yeah. Lindy and I are also both from the Kakalakis. I'm from the North. She's from the South.
Okay. Thank you, Jane. This was lovely.
Thank you for coming on the show. And if you guys haven't already, subscribe, leave a review, and I will talk to you guys next week.